Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny, and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Senna to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, my name is Senna, and I'm an alcoholic. These are the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Senna. Today we will hear a talk on step 6 and 7. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. From Bill L. from Neptune, New Jersey. Come on in, Bill.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to be here. I'm Bill. I am an alcoholic. Can't believe I'm on a Zoom meeting. 3 years ago, my sponsor started a Zoom group in the beginning of the pandemic. And he asked me to, well, he told me, you know, that they had started a Zoom group and I could get on. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm good. How long can this go on, right? And then he asked me again. I was like, yeah, you know, I did the yeah, but you know why I can't do it, which I did that a lot during my sobriety. And then one day he called me up. It was probably like a couple of weeks later. And he said, I host the Monday night speaker discussion meeting and you're speaking Monday. So figure I had to get on Zoom and be there. I see. Oh, God. Yeah, and I did it. And I don't know what's worse, like standing up at the podium in front of a whole group of people or sitting home, look at yourself on a computer screen. They're both kind of intimidating. You know, but I did it because I was forced into it. I was forced into doing or tricked. Sometimes I was tricked into doing all the things that, you know, ultimately were good for me in recovery and the things that, you know, I want to do in my recovery, which wasn't much, you know, were not good for me. You know, and that, you know, it's been 3 years, right? And, you know, I still go to that Zoom meeting probably 5 or 6 times a night. And, you know, and my life's gotten better because of that. So when Kim asked me to, you know, to speak on these steps, you don't say no in AA. So that leads me to believe that I need to look at 6 and 7, because that's how it usually works, right? You know, that's my higher power, you know, who I choose to call God. I know he's there because of all the coincidences in my life, you know, and if I don't look for evidence of God, which, you know, is near impossible, I can look for evidence of, you know, my higher power working in my life. And the things that, you know, seem like coincidences that, you know, that change my life. So let's get started. And Sonny, do you have your hand raised for a reason? Or because...
Only to show you where I am so I can put your timer up, Bill.
Oh, okay.
You can find That's me when thought. It comes to me time.
All right. Thank you. So step 6 and 7. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. My first thought of 6 and 7 was like, thank God I'm through 4 and 5, because they were really scary. And it took me like 2 or 3 times to finally get through those, to get that far. Because when it came time to, you know, actually, you know, physically do something and pick up a piece of paper and put some thought and effort into it, you know, I backed out. And so did, you know, the first, 4 or 5 people I sponsored. So I thought, you know, 6 and 7, all right, so that's easy. You know, I'll just blow through this and I'll be on my way. But that's not really how it works. You know, you have to have a God or a higher power to ask to remove these character defects, you know, and like everything else, you know, for me, it just became willing to try, You know, I became willing to try something and put effort into those things. You know, the ability was there. You know, if I didn't believe in God, how could I ask him to remove my character defects? You know, my God, oh, I struggle with this, you know, but I could talk to him and I could ask for his help. And I, you know, I had to make a conscious effort to do that. I had to be willing, you know, to sit down and pray. I needed to pray out loud. I needed to find a quiet spot in the house and pray. I couldn't really pray and meditate because my mind wandered. If I was able to sit down and, you know, verbally ask God to help me, that's when I started getting some results. My character defects, you know, came from my fourth step, right? I look back at my fourth step. And I was glad I had taken the time to, you know, I listened to my sponsor and I did the columns and I put those, you know, I wrote those things down and I started to see, you know, the character defects, or, you know, some of those I really embraced. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily willing to give them up so readily. I had to look at some of those things and, you know, say to myself, like, where is this getting me? You know, when I do this, and, you know, there were times when, you know, like, why, you know, why did I say that? My sponsee said his dad used to tell him, you missed a perfectly good opportunity to keep your mouth shut. And we always joke about that, you know. It also goes along with the, does it need to be said? Does it need to be said right now? And does it need to be said by me? That's my other, you know, favorite saying. But it usually comes to mind after I've already, you know, said the inappropriate thing. But I'm getting better. It's progress, not perfection. The other thing is, you know, I hate feeling like this. You know, those feelings of that anger and that fear. The what's it say in the big book? Restless, irritable, and discontent. You know, I grew up that way. You know, before I started drinking, I didn't know that that wasn't really, you know, how you were supposed to be. You know, that, you know, depression and stuff was, you know, that was part of my, you know, childhood and adult life. And I only learned, you know, by coming to, you know, meetings and hearing that's not normal. You know, we're not supposed to feel that way. And that let me be able to start to, you know, see how healthy people think and react to situations. So with that, you know, I started to try to change. You know, I listed my, you know, character defects and I asked God to change them. There's also that, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes. You know, how many times was I told that? Pray for willingness. And when slowly but surely, you know, they start to be removed, but, you know, they do come back sometimes. It's like the natural reaction for me is to go back to the old ways. You know, and that's a step, you know, 10 comes in for me too. I also think of the promises, you know, as these start to work, I realize that my favorite promise is intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And I'd find myself over time, you know, not reacting, you know, in the same way that I used to. And, you know, sometimes just not saying anything. Sometimes just, you know, keeping my mouth shut and walking away. You know, I was going through, as I was doing my step work, I was going through a divorce. And I was constantly fighting with my ex, you know, soon to be ex-wife. And a friend used to say, well, you know, why do you even go there? And I said, well, I go there to pick up my son, you know, so I'd spend time with him. We'd go out to dinner. And it's like, well, don't go into the house. And I'd say, well, you know, what if she comes out of the house? You know, it's just so crazy. And he said, well, don't say anything. Just walk away. And, you know, and it's like, I can't do that. And then one day I went to pick him up. You know, he wasn't outside. And I knocked on the door, you know, and I don't remember what happened. All I remember is I just said, I'm here to pick up Ryan to go for pizza. And I turned around and walked away and went and sat in my car. And he came out and I was like, wow, I can't believe I did that, you know, because I wanted, you know, what I wanted to do was, you know, grab her by the throat. But, you know, and I didn't, you know, I sat in the car, we drove off and we're sitting in the restaurant. And I got a phone call and she called me up and apologized for reacting the way she did. And, you know, what did I do? I didn't do anything except listen to somebody else, you know, and that was one of my character defects was, you know, I go from, like, I don't feel like a pretty, you know, calm and rational person, but, you know, I go from that into like rage, you know, and I was never violent, but, I would just insanely, you know, like just angry. I just get insanely angry and I'd start yelling, you know, and I never raised my hand, but I just went from that blink. And, you know, because of this program and realizing, like, I never really realized I did that. I just thought that people pushed me too far. And because of this, you know, I started to sense that in myself, like that anger that builds up inside you. And, you know, like your heart starts beating faster. And, you know, it doesn't come instantly. You know, there are signs. And, you know, without this program and without doing the step work, you know, I never would have realized those signs. And, you know, and they're there now. You know, and they don't come out too often. You know, when they come out is when I drive around New Jersey. And I just, you know, I just like take a deep breath, do a serenity prayer. It's like, really, you know, do you want to go after that person? Like, you're going to, yeah, is that what you really want to do? You know, like, let them go by, let them aggravate. Somebody else will chase them. Like, you don't have to worry that nobody's going to chase them. Somebody will get them, you know, does it need to be me? No, it doesn't need to be me. And, you know, and it's just such a beautiful thing that, you know, just like turn, you're going home, you know, and you're going to go home and pet your dog. You know, you're not going to go out, you know, Thank God for AA. So what's it? It's got to be almost 20 years ago that, I didn't let it go. And, I was almost in an accident. The guy pulled in front of me and jammed on his brakes. I thought we hit each other. He looked at the side. I was driving a work truck. He looked at the side of the truck. He was on the telephone and he drove away. I locked my door because he was bigger than I was. And I called the police because I thought he called the police. I thought we were in an accident. And, we found the guy, and he had a warrant out for his arrest. And the police took him away. And it was my fault because he was driving crazy because he was crazy. And I should have just let it go. That was kind of my incentive to not do that again. But let's move on to step 7. Humbly ask them to remove our shortcomings. And this the 7-step prayer. So I listed my shortcomings. And I tried to act as if I didn't have those shortcomings and tried to change my behavior. If you always do what you always did, you're going to get what you always got, right? And how I knew I changed because I didn't react the way I used to react. It's not always obvious to us. It is obvious to other people around us. At one point when I was still married, and again, my wife was upset with me. I don't remember what it was. But she just looked at me and said, you haven't changed at all. And my teenage son really had, more reason to be upset with me than anybody else. He walked by me and said, so that she didn't hear him, he said, "I think you've changed, Dad." And that was, it makes me want to cry when I think about that because, I had my doubts, at that time, because, I do struggle, it's just easy to resort back to, the way, I drank alcoholically for a good 20, 25 years. I didn't get sober until I was 45. Before I started drinking, my behavior wasn't really much better. I don't know, when I was 5 years old, I can look back and, as time goes on and I listen to people share, I can see, I listen to other people's stories. It reminds me of how I was myself. And it's just, it's amazing to me. But the 7-step prayer, my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. I do that by showing up for commitments. I do that today, by showing up at meetings. The Zoom meeting, that I, didn't want to go to. It Yeah, we had that Zoom meeting registered with having a mental block. We had that registered with the World Services, and it's a listed meeting. And you know, we have people. We have a woman on that meeting that's blind. You know, they can't go out to meetings. We have some people who are taking care of love. We are caregivers taking care of loved ones who aren't able to go out to meetings. And we have, I don't know, there's four or five people on that meeting that don't really go to live meetings. They got sober on Zoom. So it was good, you know, that we kept that meeting going. You know, that's a, you know, it's a commitment. It's a service to others. And, you know, I'm so blessed to be on that meeting. And then, you know, things like this, you know, somebody ask you to come on to a meeting and share, and you know, it's, you know, one of my character defects is fear. You know, I don't want to go and speak in front of a group of people. My biggest fear, right, probably worse than dying, is, you know, public speaking. And it kept me from celebrating for almost 2 years. You know, my first home group, when I, you know, when it was my month to celebrate, I wouldn't show up for celebration day because I was not getting up at the podium and speaking. And I was tricked into doing that. You know, that'll just come along. You don't have to speak. Just come along for the ride. You know, we're going along the fellowship in the car. Just come along for the ride. And I was like, all right, I'll do that. Okay. And, you know, I sat down in front of the group of people. It was at the Red Bank meeting on the church up on the hill. And my sponsor got up there at the podium and, you know, qualified and said, I'll bring up our first speaker, Bill. You know, and there I was, right? And the same thing, you know, bookers, you know, just come with me. Just hold the calendar, hold the flashlight, you know, all right. And, you know, but, you know, I don't know, tricked into doing service, you know. And the thing I always tell myself, that, you know, it's not about you. You're just not that damn important. You know, it's about doing service. And it's about doing something for somebody else. And that's how you keep it, by giving it away. And, you know, by giving it away, you get to hear what other people have to say. You're in a group of other alcoholics. And I'll be inspired, you know, by something that somebody else says today. You know, I know I will. You know, God has a message for me. And, you know, it's going to come from somebody else. And the other thing is that when I'm, how good do you feel when you're done speaking or done sharing? How good do you feel when you just, you know, show up at your home group and don't say anything? Just sit in another room of alcoholics, sit in a room of miracles, of people who struggle to just, you know, have one day of sobriety. That, you know, my home group has people of 40 years, you know, 30 years, 20 years, 13 years, and it's full of people that are just counting days that, you know, aren't drinking today. And it's just such an awesome, awesome feeling. And that never changes. On the 15th of July, I have celebrated 25 years. And the only way I know that I have 25 years is that I had to go stay in a hotel that first night because I didn't know what to do with myself. And I kept the receipt from the hotel because I had no intention of not drinking. Like, I didn't think I could not drink. I just thought that I was going to stop for like 2 or 3 weeks and that, you know, I'd be okay and I could drink again. And if I thought that I was never going to drink again, I never would have joined AA. Just like I never would have joined AA if I thought I had to come and speak in front of a group of people. So I really don't know. Like, I know, like, I drank on my wife's birthday, and that was the 10th of July, and that was kind of the end of our marriage. And I don't think I lasted more than 5 more days in the house after that. So I decided that the 15th was going to be my day. But I actually don't know what it was, but I'm going with that. And it's worked so far. And I think that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting me speak. You guys have an awesome group.